Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak with Jordan Hamm. The Diamondbacks have taken Game 1 against a very crucial series against the Dodgers. The Dodgers are still 15 games up in the NL West, but the Diamondbacks are hanging in there in the wild card race. Last night, Zach Godley had a pretty impressive outing. He was able to hold the Dodgers to only 8 hits and 3 runs, and he had 5 strikeouts. Allowed 2 home runs to Justin Turner, which were to nearly the exact same spot. But besides that, very impressed with Godley.
Yeah, that was there was a lot of action in that area last night with Justin Turner and then Jake Lamb.
Cody Bellinger, double off the wall out there.
Yeah. So there was a lot going on. Godley, again, he's been kind of a guy that has been able to stop the bleeding when the team's struggling. And more often than not, he'll give you a solid start. He will put you in a position to win, which is all you can really ask for when it's your fifth starter. And I think he has more than proven himself coming up about a month into the year and not really knowing his role quite yet. And then all of a sudden he gets in there and he's just hit the ground running.
And, you know, we don't know what could have been with Shelby Miller, but Zach Godley is definitely, and like you said, has proven himself to be the next best possible option for this rotation. On the topic of that rotation, Zach Greinke getting the start on Wednesday night. Let's talk a little bit about how he has been as of late, which has been pretty solid.
Yeah, he's been very good. The worst start that he's had this year has come against these Dodgers. This was at the beginning of the year in Dodger Stadium, where he just really wasn't on it. It was a Kershaw-Greinke matchup, and it was one that Kershaw definitely won. Yeah, he's been rock solid as well. Kind of those have been the two guys, Godley and Greinke, that have been able to, when this team is struggling, if not win the game, get them in that position to win. So that's been great for them, and Greinke's been pitching like the ace that they've wanted. You know, I think there were some questions going into this year based on how last year went, but
right.
You know, the wheels just fell off that year completely. Everything went wrong. And you bring up the point of we don't know what could have been with Shelby Miller. If he was healthy, he was having a pretty solid start to the year. And the way this team has responded, I think Shelby Miller definitely would have fallen into that fold and been a pretty good option. But all things considered, Zach Godley has been about the best case scenario you can ask for someone to come in that situation and be able to contribute every 5 days.
It seemed like things clicked for the Diamondbacks in somewhat of a lucky situation with that Jake Lamb grand slam. Very awkward swing that went oppo for him to just over Puig's head, bounce off the foul pole there. In the sense of that kind of luck against this almost unbeatable Dodgers team, I think, was it the Braves that have been the only team to beat them?
In the month of July, or since July, that they're the only team to beat the Dodgers.
So as the rest of this Dodgers series goes, and we don't want to date ourselves here, but the rest of the Dodgers series continues and the Cubs come into town, the luck is not obviously probably going to carry through in these next 4 or 5 days, but what clicked for the Diamondbacks last night that may carry over into this week?
I would say that the luck really hasn't clicked very much in the second half of this season. It's been a grind. The Diamondbacks are still winning games. They're currently tied with Colorado for that wild card lead.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still producing, but it has seemed tougher. It hasn't been that April, May, where just kind of everything was cruising and, you know, all these walk-off wins and, you know, these huge moments where things kind of go crazy, but they bounce the Diamondbacks' way. It seems like that hasn't really happened that much. But in this scenario, Torrey Lovello has always preached win the winning moments, and they definitely did that late in the game. They were able to get guys on against a very good bullpen. And Jake Lamb, who has struggled a little bit, I'll use struggle as a loose term. He's had some flashes, but we haven't seen that consistent like dominance that he had maybe in the first half. He came up in a huge situation, and a huge situation for a young player, and he was able to deliver that final blow of the Grand Slam. And, you know, Chase Field was rocking, and there were plenty of Dodgers fans in there, but you could just kind of tell the atmosphere is a little bit different this year with Chase Field, with getting the building full and having a great product out on the field.
Last night, the building was full. Well, Tuesday night, the building was full of Dodgers fans. And you can expect that to be the same on Wednesday and Thursday night, and then over the weekend, full of Cubs fans. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, about how it kind of seems like the Midwest picks up and transfers to Arizona with these Cubs fans. And Dodgers fans have always traveled well.
Right.
Always very outspoken, very loud. The boos filled Chase Field last night. And Archie Bradley got a little heated about it, which I think he has every right to do. I mean, he blatantly said, coming off the mound, this is our house. And Jake Lamb had just said that Grand Slam, he and Lamb are really good friends, obviously great teammates and whatnot with that. But when the Dodgers come into town and they're as hot as they are and they bring in their fan base, what are your thoughts on Bradley's comments with that?
I was 100% fine with it. You want players like that on your baseball team, on your sports team. It wasn't a situation where he, it's like in football where someone makes a big hit and then they step over the guy.
Right.
He wasn't making anything disrespectful. He was saying, hey, you guys got Dodgers Stadium. Yeah, we got Chase Field. Okay. I'm sure some of that also fueled a couple of years ago when the Dodgers jumped into the pool when they clinched the NL West.
Yes.
And that was deemed a disrespectful mark by many. But yeah, he was talking about the game atmosphere, and it's, you know, you want that home field advantage. So when there are plenty opposing fans in there, you want to have that little friendly reminder of just like, hey, remember where you are. This is our house. This is Jake Lamb just did this to you guys, and we're going to go win this ball game. So yeah, he didn't attack anybody. I don't think it's going to push the rivalry any further.
Right.
There are going to be brushbacks or anything. He was fired up, but he was totally respectful of the opponents on the other side.
Oh, definitely. And one of the things that you and I have discussed both on Diamonds in the Desert and outside when we're just discussing Diamondbacks baseball and Major League Baseball as a whole is the Diamondbacks have kind of the way Torrey Lovello has revamped this club is it's very family oriented, and the passion that you hear from Lovello during his press conferences, you're getting that a lot from just Lovello, it seems. And now you're seeing that passion come through from Bradley. I don't think we've seen a lot of that fired up, like this team is doing great things this year, and yeah, they're kind of flying a bit under the radar, but seeing that passion come from Archie Bradley last night, and Lovello echoed it in his press conference as well. I just think that that's a great move, step forward for the rest of this team.
Yeah, and I think that this is a ball club with, I mean, they have personality, but it's a pretty restrained personality. Paul Goldschmidt isn't going to go out and, there are going to be a few times that you see him fired up, good or bad, on the field. Same thing with AJ Pollock. He's a pretty stoic guy. Jake Lamb, you might see a little bit of emotion out of him, but not really. Really, it's going to be Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anything, you'll see sometimes when he's coming off the mound after a big strikeout, he might give a yell or something like that, but it's pretty subdued. So I think that that's, you need to have some guys like that on your roster. You need to have, I think they have a lot of confidence. I don't know how much swagger they have. And I think if someone's going to provide some swagger, it could be an Archie Bradley type player.
Most definitely. And you mentioned personality. At the end of August, the Major League clubs are going to be allowing nicknames on the back of jerseys. And all of the teams released the nicknames compiled by their rosters today on Wednesday. And I want to preface this by saying this is a time for these players to get creative, have some fun. They're getting some unique-looking jerseys, alternative jerseys to wear. They've got everything down to the socks and the cleats and any other components that they use during the game. Zach Greinke, let's begin with him. Speaking of personality, great ball player. Post-game interviews could be better, but everyone knows that Zach Greinke has a little bit of social anxiety, not crazy about the media, but...
And you know what? He's just a focused guy.
Yeah.
I think that you're going to come across those pro athletes that understand the media side, and you're going to come across some guys that are just like, you know what, let me go do my job. So I think Greinke falls in the latter of those two.
And he likes to keep it simple, clearly, because naturally his nickname that he chose is Greinke. And Jordan, you had quite the kind of, I don't know what you would necessarily call it, but when we were going through this list and looking at it, you just kind of chuckled at the thought of what the conversation was like with Greinke.
Right, where it'd be a media relations person or a team official with the team going down the list. And, hey, what? Goldschmidt, you want Goldie? Okay, got it. Chris Owings, CEO? Got it. Greinke, what would you like? And it'd just kind of be like, well, Granky's always on... Like, it's my last name, and the last name should go on the back, so why not? Can I go pitch, please? So that's how I imagine that going out.
Some of my personal favorites that are on this list as we're looking at it now, Nick Ahmed's got Slick Nick. I think that's pretty good. Granted, he probably, unless his rehab is expedited a bit, he may not make it back out in time to rep that out on the field, but that's a pretty good one.
I agree. I like that one. I really like, you know, Andrew Chafin, the sheriff.
Yes. Very fitting for Chafin.
Mike Fetters, the bullpen coach, Fet Dog. Chris Herman, Herm the Worm.
Which I don't know about that.
That one's,
I'd like to hear the story behind that.
I appreciate that one. Obviously, Peralta with the freight train. You could kind of see, I thought he was going to do that or like a train emoji. I don't know how creative or what freedoms they have with that. And Taiwan Walker, Ty Wheezy.
That's probably my favorite one.
That's a pretty good one.
I also really like Fernando Rodney's Benjamin.
That's
another one I like to hear the story behind.
Yeah, Gregor Blanco, the White Shark. That's been his nickname for a while.
And Jorge De La Rosa's is George, which that's great,
It's a literal translation. Archie Bradley, Hollywood.
Yes.
I thought he was going to go with Beard. Beard Bradley. I thought that had a nice ring to it, but apparently not. But yeah, there have been some good ones around all of Major League Baseball. I think Kyle Seager wins, though. Which is Corey's brother.
That's definitely my favorite that I've seen.
And, you know, Kyle's had a very good career, and he's kind of you mix him with a Gene Segura and Nelson Cruz, and that's a pretty good middle of your lineup. You know, he's no slouch at all, but the fact that it's Corey's brother, I think, is pretty great.
So look for those at the end of August. Diamondbacks will debut those along with the rest of Major League Baseball.
By the way, just saw 58 players not participating in the nicknames. So Greinke is one of 58.
At least he's got some pals there.
So you can... Well, a loose average of about two per club.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Greinke's the only one on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
that decided Greinke to not join
anyone.
And the other thing about the Diamondbacks is there's been a few road trips that they've decided to kind of go out and dress up a bit. The Cubs did that quite a bit last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year the Diamondbacks have done it a bit. So we mentioned personality-wise and stuff too. They do have some personality that just isn't necessarily publicized a lot by the players themselves. Archie Bradley, Hollywood, I think that's very fitting because he does like to put that stuff out.
And you know what? The guys, like, they've made their own shirts with, you know, what is it? Bring in the Beard.
Yes.
With Archie Bradley. And I know they were poking fun at Randall Delgado's all-natural lifestyle now and things like that. And I will say this. When I was in the clubhouse a couple of months ago, I did see a certain player working on custom-made cleats with another player's face on the cleats. And then I had to interrupt him to ask him for an interview.
Guess who that
is. Yeah, I'm going to leave out both of them. They might both still be on the team. They might not be. But that was, so there definitely is personality on this team, but just not the, maybe the rah-rah type.
Right.
They're pretty professional in that way.
Professionalism, personality, either way, there's momentum coming off of that game one win against the Dodgers in this series this week. Obviously, a huge win against the Cubs at Wrigley Field last week. Bit of a struggle in San Francisco in between that Cubs series and this Dodgers series, if that's maybe fair to say. I think the Diamondbacks hung in there, but they couldn't time things at the right moment to make things happen.
Yeah, it was the clutch moments that really hurt them in one game. They went 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position. With that Cubs series, it really was just being able to find those winning moments again with Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, what a performance by him. Multiple rain delays, but he was able to hit three home runs, and they were absolute bombs. And some are saying that, you know, every MVP candidate has to kind of have those moments that are jaw-dropping, and I think Goldie certainly found those. But I said, you know, the last time we recorded when we were talking about this rough stretch coming up, that, yeah, a lot of these teams are at the top of their standings in their division. The Giants aren't one of those, but going to AT&T Park and getting a series win is a difficult thing to do. And they weren't able to do that. The only win that they were able to get was with Anthony Banda going toe-to-toe against Madison Bumgarner. And he completely delivered. Mad Bum was great, too. He gave up just two runs in seven innings. But Banda came away with the win on that one. And, yeah, this is still the Giants are a tough roster, and Hunter Pence just crushes the Diamondbacks, much like a former Giant, Benito Santiago, used to just murder them. But Pence is that he has the highest batting average against any opponent. That's the Diamondbacks. So unfortunate timing. Things just didn't really click right, where, you know, maybe the pitching was off one day, or the batting with runners in scoring position wasn't working, and things like that. So tough series, but they were able to kind of reset themselves with a day off, get a win, game one against the Dodgers, and we'll see if they can come away with a series win.
Obviously, these big wins help with the momentum, but in the big picture of the wild card race, and I mean, being 15 games back behind the Dodgers, no one's necessarily thinking, oh, the Diamondbacks have a chance to catch them. But realistically, with this wild card race, these big wins and kind of continuing them and carrying that momentum is huge.
Yeah, and when you're, I mean, I don't think the Diamondbacks are necessarily doing this, but when you go and look at the schedule on paper and you see, okay, three games set with the Diamondbacks or with the Dodgers, if we're being realistic, they'll probably lose that series. Mm-hmm. But when you come away with a big game one win and a potential to win the series, then you have that confidence to go against a lesser team, which, let's face it, is all of them compared to the Dodgers this year.
No, definitely.
So it's just that kind of like positive visualization. They talked about it when JD Martinez came over. He does a lot of visualizing. When you're able to see yourself beat the Dodgers when you're playing other teams, that's going to help.
Most definitely. And looking ahead, we mentioned Greinke. We mentioned Banda getting his first start. We talked about Godley as well, and Godley was brought up from AAA after the Shelby Miller stuff, Banda as well, and TJ McFarland. So just looking at those three and the success that they had in AAA and being able to come up and translate that success at the major league level, I think says a lot about the organization.
Totally, and you know, we've talked multiple times about how they need to replenish the farm system. That's not to say that there aren't big league quality players, because those are three right there. Those are three really good pitchers, and we've seen Ray Fuentes come up and contribute, and multiple other guys have come up from Reno and been able to contribute, and they have a couple of guys that continue to tear it up that throughout the season, but it's just lacking that elite top couple guys. But that being said, they have a lot of guys and that are very talented, and they seem to be well coached at the AAA level and at the major league level, where the moment isn't too big for them, where they can come in and have positive experiences earlier in their careers.
The Diamondbacks will look to continue their home turf success with two games against the Dodgers to finish out that series, three games against the Cubs at home, and then two against the Astros, as we have been talking about, and then heading to Houston to begin a road trip in Houston, Minnesota, and then in New York with the Mets.
Yeah, gonna be a very tough stretch. This will, I think, when you get out of this little stretch, you're gonna have, they're roughly about a month out, a little bit more than that. You're gonna have a really good idea where these Diamondbacks stand, and it's pretty safe to say I don't think they're gonna catch the Dodgers. But in terms of the wild card, not only in the top position, but the number two and how they're being followed by the Brewers currently and that sort of thing. So it's going to be pretty trying, but this team hasn't really backed down. So looking forward to see how this season progresses, especially with this stretch.
That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Be sure to check out sports360az.com for more of our Diamondbacks content, as well as our high school and college level baseball content as well. Thanks for listening in.